Good morning. Glad to be here today. Well, it was a cold week, wasn't it? A little chilly. That meant for me, usually at night, I was staying inside, which meant a little bit of TV, a little bit of movies. I watched a little more TV than I normally did this week, just because it was cold and it's kind of our first cold. It seemed that like every movie was this courageous adventure, this mission that people were on. I mean, there was a quest to embark in. There was an adventure to undertake. There was a mission to accomplish. Whether it was Lord of the Rings, it was Frodo on the quest to return the ring to the mountain, or one of my favorite TV shows is Chuck. Chuck, Sarah, and John Casey are secret agents, and they're on a mission to save each other each week. Or maybe it's Hallmark. Hallmark movies. Lots of Hallmark movies. They're on a mission to get this new guy who comes into town to fall in love with a small town sweetheart. That's the plot of every Hallmark show. So whether you're thinking about the shows that you watch, the movies that you see, or the stories that you hear, they're usually about a mission. They're about a goal. They're about a task that has to be attempted. Salt. Salt is it's an action-adventure movie. There's a CIA agent by the name of Evelyn Salt, and she's played by Angelina Jolie. Kind of halfway through her mission as a CIA agent, she actually finds out, okay, this is going to be a spoiler here, she finds out that she's a Russian secret agent. There were just like little pictures that kind of start making sense. She finds out that she's a sleeper agent, and now she has two conflicting missions, the CIA mission and the Russian mission. And it's kind of fast-paced, and it's twists and turns, and it's action-packed. And at the end, you just leave with a smile on your face, and you think, ah, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could be a secret agent, like saving the day. But what if you are? What if you are a sleeper agent? Maybe you're a sent one. You're on a mission, but you're disguised. You're disguised as a supervisor. You're disguised as a plant worker. You're disguised as a business owner or housewife or student or government worker. But you're on a mission. What would it look like here at Central if you're on a mission, like an urgent mission, an important mission, a mission that would require everybody to participate? A mission that we needed all of the gifts and all of the talents to accomplish it. What would that look like? You'd have to give everything. You would have to risk something of yourself. There would be sacrifice, and it would require courage. But if you're on a mission like that, maybe you'd tell your neighbors about it. Maybe you'd tell your friends about it. This week, I looked at the Central Christian Church's website, and I found out that you really are on a mission. And your mission is to glorify God, to seek the lost, to nurture believers, to serve one another with compassion and love. And I think that's a great mission. It's a biblical mission. You can see that. There are all kinds of scriptures that say, hey, we should glorify God and give him honor. We should reach out and find the lost. We should help each other grow as we become followers of Christ. And we should serve and serve and serve. You really are on a mission. But sometimes we think it's our mission, and we forget it's really God's mission. I want you to see, I want you to walk away with just one idea today. God is a missionary God. The word mission, it comes from a Latin word, missio, and it means sending or being sent. And you're going to hear that word throughout this message a lot, and I just want you to grab a hold of that, being sent and sending. The story of the Bible, 66 books written in three different languages over a period of 1,000 years. They're all connected, the story of God, because God is sending people. He's sending angels. He's sending prophets. He's sending a baby. He's sending rain and large fish and great storms, all to restore and heal his creation. There's a Hebrew word, salah. It means to send. It appears 800 times in the Old Testament. And 200 times, God is the object of that verb. He is the one sending. So I want to start off, and I'm just going to give you like two great stories about God sending out individuals on a mission. The first one, Jim already referred to a little bit. In Exodus, God's chosen people are in slavery. They've been in slavery for hundreds of years, and so God torches this bush. And it's in the vicinity of Moses, and it must have been burning for a while because it says that Moses kind of looks at the bush, and it says it's burning for a while, but it doesn't burn up. And so he goes closer to find out, what is going on with this bush? Like, how is it on fire? And it's been on fire for a long time, and yet it's still there. How does this happen? And God has a conversation with Moses, and we pick it up kind of halfway through here in Exodus 3. It says, "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached my ears." God is talking about this. He says, "I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out." But Moses said to God, "Well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I'll be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." And Moses said, "Well, suppose I go there, and the Israelites say to me, what do I say to them? The God of your fathers has sent me to you." And they'll ask, "Well, what is his name? And also, what should I tell them?" And God says to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. The I am has sent me to you." Moses, he's a reluctant missionary. He has lots of questions. He has a number of concerns. But when the God of the universe calls, it's best to answer. So maybe you're here today and you didn't expect this is going to be missionary recruitment day. Maybe you're like Moses. You're minding your own business, and then God breaks into your kingdom and shows you a little glimpse of his kingdom. And you have questions. You may wonder about your qualifications, but God has a way to work with reluctant missionaries. And the key point, I think, to grab from this little story, from the call of Moses, is that even though Moses resists, even though he has questions, God says, "I'll be with you." The sender is always with the sent one. There's another great story, God sending a man a mission from Isaiah 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, Israel is the kingdom now. They'd been ruled for 52 years by King Uzziah, and 52 good years. You imagine a president who is president for 52, I don't know if that's going to be a good thing, but for 52 years, they didn't have to worry about who's in charge. And then Uzziah dies, and there's chaos, and there's uncertainty. But Isaiah sees God on his throne. And when he sees God on his throne, he cries out, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin has been atoned for." Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Here I am. Send me." Isaiah is not like Moses. He's not a reluctant missionary. He's an eager missionary. He sees the need. He hears a call and he is ready. I mean, he knew he had some things in his past. He knew he had some things where he was unclean. But he trusted the seraphim, the words of the seraphim, that when coal touched his lips, he was made clean and he had his sins atoned for. So you may be like Isaiah. You may be sitting here waiting for something to do, to live a life bigger than your own, to be part of something that's going to last, something that's going to have meaning, something that you can actually give your life to. God has a way of prompting eager missionaries to get a glimpse of the need that they can fill. Maybe just been born for a time just like this. Well, near the end of Isaiah's ministry, he kind of gives a progress report. In Isaiah chapter 60, he kind of lets them know that, hey, this is what I have been doing. He says in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit on the sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of God, to proclaim all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, of oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. That's his mission statement. That's his driving orders. This is what you're to do. Six redemptive acts. Three of them are calls to proclaim, calls to tell, calls to say something. Proclaim the good news to the poor. Proclaim freedom to the captives. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of the Lord's coming. And three of them are calls to action. Bind up the brokenhearted. Comfort all who mourn. Bestow on them a crown of beauty. It's this idea of healing, this idea of wholeness. It's a mixture of proclaiming and demonstrating that the kingdom of God is here. Because we have a God that's a missionary God, a God that's on a mission to restore his creation, and he sends people out. That's the Old Testament. The New Testament, Jesus comes along. Jesus has been doing some things, and he kind of makes his way back to Nazareth. And as he gets back to Nazareth, the people in his town, I mean, you know, a boy in the town leaves town, and now he comes back, and everybody wants to know what's been going on. They've been hearing rumors. And so Jesus comes to the synagogue, and he takes the seat of a teacher, and all eyes are on him. And as all eyes are on him, he grabs the scroll, and he grabs the scroll of Isaiah, and he goes through the scroll of Isaiah till he hits about 61, and he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me." And then he goes and he reads the rest of Isaiah 61. Jesus understands, hey, I have been sent. I've picked up the mission that Isaiah has laid out, and this is how I'm going to do it. That's his mission. That's the mission he's going to accomplish. And so he goes from town to town, proclaiming the kingdom is here. And he goes from town to town, demonstrating kindness and healing and restoration. Jesus understands at the core of who he is, his name, who he is all about being sent. I want you to sink in for just a minute. That Jesus, when he describes himself, and I got a fly that's up here, it's just circling me. He just understands that he is sent. 34 times, if you read through the Gospel of John, 34 times, you're going to see something about the one who sent me, or the Father who has sent me. In John 5, he says, "The very works that I do testify that the Father has sent me." In 5:37, he says, "The Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me." In John 9, he says, "As long as it is a day, I must do the work of the one who sent me." When he talks about himself, he says, "God has sent me. He has sent me to do these things." The last time where he says this, in John chapter 20, the last time where John writes out that Jesus says this, he says it a little bit differently. In John chapter 20, verse 21, he says this, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Just as the Father sent me, just in the same way as the Father sent me, I am sending you out, which means we now are taking his mission upon us. And we're to do it the very same way. So I'm going to ask you to put up Isaiah 61 again, up here behind me. Hopefully it's the next slide. We have been sent in the spirit of Isaiah, so I'm going to ask you guys to read aloud with me this mission. So will you read with me? "The Lord has sent me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives. He has sent me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion. He has sent me to bestow a crown of beauty." That is our mission. You may have walked in here today thinking, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm kind of going along and things, and then realize, ooh, I'm actually a sleeper agent. I have all of these things that are now starting to make sense. I have these talents and these gifts, and I've been placed in this certain spot. Maybe I'm an agent sent out from God. That's our mission, to proclaim and demonstrate God's kingdom here on earth. This place where God's kingdom rules, to alert people to the kingdom of God around us. So how do we do this? I was going to go the high road, and then I talked a little bit and thought about it, and I'm going to go the low road. I'm a Bible nerd at times, and so that's why I say things like, hey, 800 times this word appears, 200 times it appears here, and then I look at John through Bible Gateway, and I just start reading all of the times where it says, he sent me, he sent me, he sent me, I was sent by God, he's the one who sent me, I was sent. I love things like that, but I also want to make it simple too. So how do I do this? Dave Ferguson, he's a minister up in Chicago at Naperville Community Church, has written a little book on being on mission. He said, to be on mission, you do the same things that Abraham and Jesus did. You become a blessing. His first charge to God, when he talks to Abraham, in his kind of commitment to Abraham, he says this, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. All the people on the earth will be blessed through you. So we're to bless other people. Now, maybe you're like me. Maybe you go home and you thought through the day, and yeah, you've had challenges. I mean, if you think through the week, I mean, just think through your past week. What's it been like? Some challenges. But we're here, and we're healthy. And when we look around and we go, you know what? It's been a good week. I've been blessed by so many things. And sometimes we just stop there. And we come and we give thanks and we sing songs. But Jesus says, no. I've blessed you so that you can be a blessing to other people. Our mission is to bless others. So I'm going to spell out the word bless, because I want you to be able to think about this through the week and not have to kind of worry about your notes and stuff like that. We're going to spell out the word bless. We're going to kind of talk through, how can I be on mission? How can I be the secret agent? How can I be a sleeper agent? And the B stands for begin with prayer. Everything begins with prayer. Commit to start every morning praying that God will use you to bless someone. Dean is a student worker at Michigan State. Dean works with students. Every morning he begins with this prayer. He said, God, I want a divine appointment. God, put someone in my path today that needs a blessing. And then he goes throughout his day, and everybody he bumps into, he thinks, this is my divine appointment. Well, he had a number of appointments kind of come up and students coming into his office, and one called and canceled. And so he had some time, and he was sitting in his office at the school, and he just started praying. And in the middle of his prayer, Janice just kind of flashed in front of his face. It was just a picture of Janice. And he thought, that's kind of odd. Janice is kind of a new girl. She's kind of just started coming to small group, and Dean was over the small groups. And he just kind of thought about her name for a little bit. And at the end of the prayer, he thought, I should do something. And so he calls Janice and he says, hey, Janice, I got some free time this afternoon. Would you just want some coffee? You want to grab some coffee? And she said, yeah. And so he gets there and he sits down, and Dean starts talking, and he said, Janice, he said, this is going to sound weird, but I was in my office today and I started praying, and your face just kind of kept coming up. And I think God wants me to say something to you, but I'm not sure what. And Janice starts crying. And Dean's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm such a goof, I'm just an idiot. I didn't mean that. And Janice says, no, that's not it at all. She said, last night I went to small group and everybody was talking about what it means to follow Christ. and what it means to be a Christian, and I want that, but I don't have anybody to tell me how to do that. And then you call. And it begins with prayer. We have to be in prayer like every day. God, when I wake up, God, today, how can I be a blessing to someone else? The L stands for listen. Listen to your neighbors. Listen to your friends. Listen to your family and your coworkers. Sometimes the blessing is just someone to listen to. I mean, sometimes people just need to just tell you something, and that's all it is, and that's your blessing for the day. Just listen. But sometimes in the listening, you start to hear a mission call. They start saying some things, and you start thinking in your head, I have people that can help that. I have friends who can help here. And we just start listening. One day, Jesus was going through Jerusalem, and it was festival time. So there were thousands and thousands of people packing the roadway, and they were everybody from the surrounding towns is kind of in this chaos to get to Jerusalem. And Jesus is kind of walking along. He's walking through the crowd, and there's a blind man over on the side of the road, and he starts calling out to Jesus. But the people who have lived there, they know the blind man. They know he does this all the time. And Jesus is an important guy at this time, so they just kind of try to shut him up. But then it just makes him yell louder. And finally, Jesus hears him, and he walks over there and he says, is there something I can do for you? He doesn't presume that he knows what this man needs, although he does, but he just listens. What is it you need? How can I help? Listening to our friends, listening to our neighbors, listening at work. It paints a picture of the mission that God is calling us on. The E stands for eat. And you're going, wait, what? A mission statement where I can eat? Like, that's the ministry that I want to be on. Like, I'll sign up to be on the eating ministry. Jesus had an eating ministry. I mean, all throughout the gospel, there are story after story of Jesus eating with people. He ate with disciples, he ate with Pharisees, he ate with tax collectors, he ate with prostitutes. I was looking through some things, and in Luke's gospel, if you like to eat, you should read Luke's gospel. 19 times in Luke's gospel, there's a meal. And you're like, oh, I like this Jesus guy. 13 of those times don't appear. 13 of those meals don't appear in any other gospel. So Luke is like, hey, eating with one another is important. There's a church in Australia that challenged its people to eat 3 meals a week with somebody besides their family. Just think about that. 21 meals. I eat 21 meals a week. I don't know what you guys do, but I'm guessing close. 21 meals a week that you would go, 3 of them, I'm going to eat with somebody else. I'm just going to sit down and eat with them and see how they're doing. And he challenged them. Their church said, I want you to eat 1 meal with somebody outside the church, eat 1 meal with somebody inside the church, and then flip a coin, see which one you're going to, you know, eat with somebody inside or outside on the 3rd meal. Ken Gillespie, I don't know if you know Ken, he is the minister up at West Union Christian Church. When Ken first came here, he went to the leaders of the church and he said, hey, what is it we need to do? And one of their elders, one of their leaders said, you know what? He said, we don't spend enough time with our feet under each other's tables. That's kind of a neat saying. We don't spend enough time with our feet under each other's tables. He's just saying, we don't eat with each other enough. And that's a problem. So if you begin your day with prayer, you start listening to people, you eat with people in their community, you will start to hear the needs in which you can follow up. The S, I believe, is to serve one another. Responding to their needs, discovering, you know, what's going on, just to serve and help a friend. I mean, serving is just helping a friend through something, through an addiction, through a trial. It's praying for a coworker with a sick family member. It's working to put a smile on just someone's face. Mark 10, verse 45, you've probably heard it and seen it before, but it says, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. It should be one of the defining moments and defining pictures of the church and of us. If we're missionaries, if we are on a mission, we should be serving. Well, the last S in bless is for its story. We should share the story of God. Story of how we found our way back. I told you the last time that I spoke that my daughter, Madison, went to a refugee camp in Greece. And we're going back there in February. But one of the last days that she was working there, and there's 5,000 refugees in this camp, and there's just a few workers that are working in the camp. She had an orange jacket on, and that kind of let them know that, hey, she was with Euro Relief. They're part of the mission group. And there was a family that invited her into her tent one of the last days. And so it was this Afghan family, mom and a dad, and then like two teenage daughters and two really small kids. And they had a great time playing around. They had a great time sharing some different things. And near the end, one of the teenage girls said, "Why are you here? Like, why are you serving?" It was the middle of winter when she went. It was freezing cold. It was raining, and she stood outside. And they saw her, and they were saying, "We see you serving. Why?" And she said, "Because Jesus would do that. He would be here. He would be serving." And then he get a chance to tell her story. So when we start with prayer, we start every day just saying, "Hey, God, this is something I have to do. I have to be a blessing today. I have to be a missionary. I have to be sent out from you today. What do you want me to do?" And then we just open our ears to the need around us. Maybe you'll have to break down. You'll have to eat with someone. And that's going to be tough, but we can do it. We can make it through that. And then we get a chance to serve them. And in the chance of serving, we get to tell them the story of God. That there is a God out there who loves them, and they need to hear that. He loves them so much that he's created this world, and he has certain designs for it. Like there are truths that we should follow. And he's laid them out so that we live a good life. Well, that's Dave Ferguson's little book, Living on Mission. And that's my challenge to you. That today, you would start reading scripture, and every time you see this word sent or sending, you start thinking of yourself, I'm sent. I am being sent. I am a missionary to my community, to my neighbors, to my friends, to my coworkers. I am a sent one. That's my prayer for us today, is that we be sent ones, that we start looking at our world as this mission. And I'm telling you, movies like Salt, where there's one person doing a great mission, is kind of fun. But movies like Avengers, where like everybody is a team, is so much more fun. Where everybody has a special talent, where everybody has a special gift, where God has gifted you something to be part of this mission that starts here and moves out into the community. Let me pray for you. Father God, we want to see you as this missionary God, this God that has a mission to restore this world back to the Garden of Eden, where you have a right relationship with us and right relationship with nature, and we have a right relationship with each other. You want to restore us back to there, and your kingdom is coming and it is advancing. Help us to be part of that. Help us to be special agents out on this mission to help restore your world, to tell people of your love and your kindness, to tell them of your commands and your truth, to tell them of your love and grace for them. Father, today I just pray that you would be with us, that we would start to see you in a different light, and that we would start to see ourselves in a different light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.